Welcome to the 1515, brought to you by the regulatory legal experts at the Maples Group. Here, you will learn more about the latest developments in the regulatory laws of the Cayman Islands on the 15th day of every month.
Welcome to the latest edition of our 1515 Regulatory Podcast. My name is Chris Capewell. I'm a partner and global head of the regulatory and financial services team here at the Maples Group. Joining me today are my fellow partners, Tim Dawson and Patrick Head. Please do note this does not constitute legal advice and it's a general update only. There are the usual housekeeping items that I need to cover. So if you are listening from your podcast app, you'll find resources, documents, including a high-level copy of some of the presentation slides and speaker information in the description. And if you've clicked on any of the media links sent to you via email, you can find the information in the notes section. Last but not least, please don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. Tim and Pat, there's a few shorter items. I think we've got a large volume, but each of them are fairly high-level updates that we should touch on today. Initially, we had some CEMA updates, including a recent climate change letter that was issued. We then had some DITC outreach activity and potential desk audits. There were then some AML revisions to the guidance notes, very slight tweaks. I think there's some active industry consultations out there. And then Tim, I think you want to talk about some updates on beneficial ownership. Pat, maybe if we hand over to you initially, if you can just track us through some of the CEMA updates that you're seeing.
Well, thanks, Chris. I think everybody should be aware that CEMA recently issued a new survey. This one was in connection with climate, ESG type focus. So that was issued in the beginning of February. There was an original deadline of closer to the beginning of March. That's now been pushed out towards the end of the month. Obviously, sort of industry participation is encouraged. CEMA's obviously wanting to get a sort of a deeper understanding of what regulated entities are doing, particularly with regard to climate-type focused events and how that's impacting their businesses. So if anybody's received that, please do complete that and return it to CEMA. You do now have, as I said, to the end of March. CEMA also issued their latest thematic sort of records management review report. I think the review was conducted last year. The report came out in February and it kind of identifies weaknesses and also where there were efficiencies and where people were complying with, in particular, the records management, records retention and sort of accessibility of records. I think that this focus of this review last year sort of dovetails with what I think other global regulators have been looking at as well. It's really just a timely reminder that as well as having proper policies and procedures in place, that entities need to ensure they are documenting a lot of their transactions and actually keeping accurate records, and that those records are in fact accessible. People should be aware that there is a requirement to be able to hand over information and records to CEMA on request and often within quite short timeframes. So that was just another sort of good housekeeping point really for industry to be aware of, just sort of moving more to enforcement focus points. We are aware that CEMA is continuing its inspection of registered persons and licensees, in particular Securities Investment Business Act registered persons or licensees. This has been happening for a few years now. It's obviously an ongoing annual occurrence. Again, for people who don't have proper policies and procedures in place for ongoing compliance with their regulatory requirements, and that does extend beyond just securities businesses, but companies, management as well, trustees, etc. Please do reach out. Very happy to help you put appropriate policies and procedures in place. Through those inspection processes, that's really where the authority is able to identify lapses or breaches in compliance with, in particular, anti-money laundering regulations. I think a focus this year is also going to be corporate governance as we move forward, sort of off the back of the finalization of new rules and statements of guidance of best practices issued on corporate governance last year. But as everybody will be well aware, breaches of those rules, in particular AML regulations as well, will result in penalties. There's a note here just in relation to cancellation of registrations of directors. And that's obviously a point to note that towards the end of the year, if you are a director of a covered entity, i.e. a CEMA registered entity, you do need to either renew your annual subscriptions to remain a director of that entity. That needs to occur really by the beginning of the year. If you haven't paid those fees already, then SEMA will automatically cancel your registrations, which can validate your appointment to some of these entities. You know, equally, if you're coming off an entity, you need to cancel that registration as well. If you don't do that, you will still incur 2024 fees. They will be due and payable before you can then file to deregister. The other housekeeping point just to note also was the recent focus by SEMA with respect to the filing of fund annual return forms or FAR forms with respect to each umbrella series trust with the authority. And I think we've sort of seen this also in the context of deregistrations of some of these series trusts and also with segregated portfolio companies and each segregated portfolio. I think the takeaway really is to be aware that where an individual series trust or an SP is registered and it needs to file the FAR form, that it does so, and equally where those entities or vehicles, I should say, are coming to the end of their life and have ceased to be used, that you do need to go through the process to deregister them as well, both segregated portfolios and the individual series trust with SEMA. Otherwise, SEMA does seem to be picking up on the fact that there hasn't been a filing of either audited financial records or the FAR form corresponding to that portfolio, to that series trust, and these vehicles and portfolios are starting to now accrue outstanding penalties and fees. So again, a housekeeping point to be aware of to make sure that you are on top of the filings and you are also on top of the notification requirements to the authority where the relevant vehicle has ceased to be of business use. I think that was really most of the sort of admin housekeeping points there, Chris, so I can hand that back over to you or to Tim.
Sure. One of the points that I've certainly seen is on the director individual registrations too, is just to view that, I guess, as akin to a sort of driving license. It attaches to the relevant individual. And every year we go through the same process where there's been movement within the company and an employee who's the director has left and hasn't appreciated that they then need to change or deregister their own registration that attaches to them, because penalties can accrue pretty quickly if you don't deregister. Tim, I guess if we can hand over to you now so that you can give us a broad overview of what's happening on the DITC TIA front.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Context worth noting that the Cayman Islands as a jurisdiction is being assessed for its compliance with implementation of common reporting standards. As a result of that, the DITC stroke TIA is having to itself demonstrate effectiveness, which means carrying out reviews and audits. And there's something of a distinction I would note between what we've seen to date, which perhaps you could say is dealing with the lower hanging fruit infringements, and the first instances we've seen of desk audits. So turning to that first point, where there's a kind of fairly obvious ostensible error, such as an entity which is registered with SEMA as being a fund, but is not registered with the DITC as being an investment entity, this has led to an inquiry from the DITC and then a requirement to either register with the DITC or explain. Now, this isn't something to be taken lightly, because the failure to file with the DITC when you should be registered is a fairly hefty fine of $37,500 Cayman Islands, so north of $40,000 US. And in addition, if you've got reportable accounts which you haven't registered, that can incur a $5,000 fine in each case. Now, one point that's come out of this kind of remediation process is that some clients have said, well, actually, we can't quite register by the deadline because it takes time to get our FATCA gin. Well, actually, the FATCA gin isn't relevant for this, because this is a CRS compliance audit. The point being, you can register as an investment entity on the DITC portal without actually having a FATCA registration. You may remember, indeed, that there are distinctions between the definitions of financial institution as between FATCA and CRS. One to pay attention to. I guess another obvious quote-unquote low-hanging fruit is the failure to make filings. In particular, if you are a registered investment entity, you have to complete all of your filings for a given year, and that includes compliance forms. And we sometimes see that that part of the process isn't completed, and that will inevitably lead to a follow-up. However, that said, we have seen perhaps a slight change in focus with respect to the enforcement investigations. We've had some instances of desk audit requirements. These are much more detailed. They've really drilling down into the reporting of a particular financial institution. It's prompted by inconsistencies or queries raised by returns. We've seen requests for basically delivery of full account information with respect to every investor, every self-certification, proof of manuals, etc. I mean, what this really points to is you want to make sure that you're in compliance up front. Really do need to check your returns, making sure they're consistent. Otherwise, you could be on the end of a fairly detailed audit.
Thanks, Tim. The desk audits in particular are interesting. The DITC is evolving more along the lines of SEMA with the inspections that Pat mentioned earlier for the SEPA registered persons. definitely an area of focus for us and for all of the clients, is to ensure that you're completely up to speed with CRS and also FATCA obligations. Obviously, connect with us or your usual counsel if you do want to discuss, and we'll probably have more updates on this over the next couple of podcasts. Next item was AML guidance notes. Pat, did you want to have a chat around those? Because I think they were primarily focused on VASP.
Yeah, absolutely. And this really is just a VASP-focused update. And really, it's to build in to the current regulations, the travel rule requirements for virtual asset service providers. I mean, I think it does also have benefits for other entities that may not be VASPs, but that are looking at sort of trading in virtual assets. You know, the sort of entire AML guidance has been enhanced over the last year or two, really, to bake in a lot of helpful sections when dealing with virtual assets. This is one just to be mindful of, and it kind of flows into the next point, really, which I think you're going to ask about, Chris, on current consultations. And I'll sort of jump forward and talk about the VASP framework. As listeners may remember, that was introduced in two phases, initially just with the registration phase a few years ago now. We are just going through the consultation phase to turn on phase two, as it's called, of the regulations, which is for the licensees. And that's for anybody wanting to conduct custodial services and or operate an exchange. Now, the update that I've just mentioned there to the AML guidance around the travel rule is kind of very similar to bank wire transfers and really aimed at those operators that may be looking at running an exchange platform transfer service in the Cayman Islands. So I think the timing, obviously, therefore, you know, dovetails with the current consultation to turn on phase two. The drafting and the act and the current regs for turning on phase two are as largely expected. So I think the consultation at the moment is currently ongoing. So if you are interested in the space or looking at conducting custodial services or operating a platform exchange service in Cayman, yeah, it's worth you looking at the consultation. It's open for public comments, so you can find that through SEMA's website and make comments back to them. The drafting looks to be sort of on par with what we expected, so no real surprises there. The other consultation that's ongoing at the moment, just to mention as well, is with respect to trust and corporate service providers. Now, this follows consultation towards the end of last year, where industry sort of comments were returned just in the beginning of 2024 in relation to market conduct for trust and corporate service providers. The most recent consultation that's just come out in February is to do with recruitment and selection standards for employees of trust and corporate service providers. So this is a slightly more focused consultation. Again, I think I'd invite anybody in industry who this is relevant to review that consultation and to make any comments that you feel are applicable on that. The sort of due date for comments on that consultation is for the 25th of March.
Thanks, Pat. Tim, do you want to give everyone an update on where we are with the Beneficial Ownership Transparency Act?
Sure. I mean, our listeners will know we've spoken about this before. We've just released an update, which you can find on our website or online, which sets out in writing some of the key changes to the Act. We're still anticipating consultation on draft regulations and guidance notes, which ought to occur towards the end of this month or perhaps shortly thereafter. We were fortunate to host the Minister of Financial Services at the Maples Investment Fund Forum recently, and he made clear that one of the reasons for introducing this is to be comply with new FACF requirements with an eye on the next mutual valuation of the Cayman Islands in 2027. He also said they want to make sure they get this right. So hopefully that will mean that we will have plenty of time to feed in to consultation in order to get a regime which is fully workable for the foreseeable future. Interesting that in the US, they have introduced the US Corporate Transparency Act. This will also be in response to FATF. You know, they're very, very much the same FATF requirements. There has been a challenge in one of the US states on a constitutional basis to this act. So want to keep an eye on. It won't make any difference to implementation of the beneficial ownership updates here, but still quite interesting to see how different jurisdictions are dealing with the same edicts in parallel.
Thanks, Tim. I think the US CTA one that you mentioned is interesting because it's going through similar analysis as we saw on the European Court of Justice decision around unconstitutionality and balancing the needs and purpose of what's trying to be implemented. I think there was the judge held that Congress's constitutional powers didn't extend to what was trying to be done under the CTA. as you said, let's see how that one goes. It did relate to one state only, so it's very much business as usual, and I suspect that US government is going to be appealing that. So I know that our CTA team in Delaware is incredibly busy with client instructions. Whilst we're on the podcast, actually one other point that's just come up on my inbox, FATF guidance on beneficial ownership and transparency of legal arrangements has just been updated. So the risk-based guidance for recommendation 25 has been updated. So worth everybody having a look at that.
I mean, that is quite interesting. Sorry. I mean, that will eventually lead to registers for trusts, I think, I mean, as opposed to what we currently have, which is a regime for legal persons. So anyway, yeah. I mean, as you say, interesting. And then we'll see.
Yeah. So we'll see where it goes for trusts. At present, we're very focused on non-trust vehicles. Soon come, and that will probably be another podcast we'll be talking about in a few months' time. That is it from myself, Tim, and Pat. Thank you, everyone, for listening and also for just taking the time out of your busy schedules. If you do have any questions, please reach out to either of us or to your usual Maples contact. We'll be back with another podcast next month and wish you all the best, and thank you for listening. Take care.